Well, I tell you, it seems like just a day ago, a small yellow flower adorned the plant in our garden. A bright, colorful sign of life that all too quickly curled in on itself and quickly went away. It seems like just a day ago that flower was there and then gone just as quickly. And what seems in like the blink of an eye, there is now a zucchini the size of my leg. I mean, seriously, I swear it was like a day, maybe two, and this showed up. Like, okay, I swear you were just a flower. This week, our sermon series on the season of creation, our sermon series on plants, this week the series comes to fruition. From seeds to roots to pollination, we've been on a journey with the created world around us. Jesus used the created world for some of his most meaningful and powerful metaphors. At one point, he even instructed us, "Consider the lilies of the field." That was his instruction for us to understand God's love and God's care. And so we have been looking to the amazing life of plants for guidance on how we might live hopeful, secure, rich, and thriving lives. Throughout these weeks, we have been growing alongside this metaphorical plant, and today it bears fruit. That fruit language is something that gets used a lot in the Christian world, because Paul, the influential writer that he was, used a plant metaphor to speak about God's Spirit made visible in our lives. He wrote in Galatians about those fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And since that writing, one of the essential questions of the church, that's capital C church, one of the essential questions of the church is there fruit? That's the question we ask of those called to ministry. It's the question we ask of congregations, of people living into their baptism. We look at one another and at our institution and we have to ask, is there fruit? We are invited to look at our own individual lives and the communal life we participate in and ask if we are seeing the fruit of God's Spirit. Now, I was struck by this on Tuesday as I spent the day with one of our bishops. I say bishops plural because we kind of have two at the moment. Our outgoing bishop, Bishop Elaine Stanofsky, and our incoming bishop, Bishop Karen Olivito. See, after 8 years of serving the people of the Mountain Sky area, Bishop Elaine Stanofsky has been assigned to a new area up in the greater Northwest, and we will receive that newly elected bishop, Bishop Karen Olivito. Now, Bishop Karen flew in for a day with her wife, Robin, to meet the staff, to organize some transitional needs, and the other important part was that she visit the parsonage where she and her wife will live. Now, our current bishop walked her through the house and the yard, giving her a tour. While we were in the backyard, okay, first off, a hawk came and landed on the water fountain. We're really trying to woo her. No, you'll love Denver. Look, hawks just land in backyards. That's how it goes. So after the hawk lands and drinks from the fountain and flies away, we get this tour of the backyard. And Bishop Elaine points out the blackberries and the grapes that she had planted several years ago. And she said to Bishop Karen, "I haven't gotten any fruit off of them yet, but you will this fall." As she said those words, I realized our new bishop will harvest much that our departing bishop has planted. As Bishop Elaine has supported and nurtured the spiritual well-being of our congregations and congregations across four states, as she has tended to relationships and nurtured ministries, Bishop Karen will witness the love, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, all of those fruits that we bear from the work of our previous leadership. Bishop Elaine did work that has yet to come to fruition. She planted and someone else will reap. And so this got me thinking about all of our lives and the life of our congregation. What is it that we are planting that we may see bear fruit or that others might tend to? Or what fruit are we reaping in this very moment that others have planted before us? In keeping with this image of bearing fruit, you know, in a way, our congregational life together is kind of like a gardening club. We are here to help nurture and develop the fruit in one another's lives. But fruit is not fruit for fruit's sake. As I was reminded by a biology textbook this week, fruit has a single purpose: seed dispersal. I mean, preparing for a sermon like this, you sit down with your Bible and your biology textbook, and you get to work. And there it was, so clear, such a beautiful, simple sentence. A fruit's single purpose is seed dispersal. Now, botanically speaking, fruit is a much broader group than we often consider. I mean, there's all the lovely ones that we put in baskets and eat, but fruits are such a broad piece, botanically speaking. But even within simply a culinary definition of fruit, it still supports that single purpose. Fruit disperses seeds. Some fruits are dropped so that the flesh and the nutrients of the fruit will feed and fertilize the seeds that are within. Everything those seeds need to be successful are contained and sent out with them. Some fruits are so tempting and tasty, they are carried away or eaten, the seeds traveling within the eater for a while before being cast away in one way or another. Other fruits cling. They get stuck and carry along until the seeds fall apart and fall away. Others float on the water. Others float in the air. A small collection of seeds even explode to disperse their seeds. It's amazing. All of these different ways, many, many ways. And yet one purpose: to disperse seeds. And so if we as God's people are invited to consider the lilies, if we are to bear fruit, our purpose should be the same: to disperse, share, and spread the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that God offers. Now, this does raise a few questions. Do we really have something to offer? How are we supposed to disperse these things, and are we ready? So I can turn this morning to the concluding words of the letter written to the Hebrews. Now, this is actually a book of the Bible in our New Testament. Don't let the word Hebrew confuse you, thinking that it would be in the Old Testament, you know, the Hebrew Bible. No, this is a letter written to the Hebrews in the New Testament. And the author, who is unknown, writes to them instructions of what it is to live in Christian community. And then concludes with these words: "May the God of peace, who brought back the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus, from the dead by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good thing to do his will, by developing in us what pleases him through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and always. Amen." Now, not to ignore the death and blood language, let me refer you back to the zucchini at the beginning of the sermon this morning, the flower that was there and died, in a way that something new life might show up. That's much more my death and resurrection theology than blood atonement. Don't let the first century fascination with that kind of death on a cross scare you away. Hear instead that God can bring new life and fruit out of even what appears to be withering. But hear also the prayer that God would equip us all with everything necessary to live a life like Jesus. That has been the prayer since day one, that God would equip us all with everything necessary. You know, one of my favorite preacher cliches is this: God doesn't call the equipped, God equips the called. I heard that for years and years and years, and it's amazing to watch it actually happen. People who say, "I don't know, but I'll say yes," and who watch everything they need appear within themselves because it was there. It needed a chance to be cultivated. This is what we seek each and every week as God's people: that God would equip us, that God would nurture each of us to a place where we might live like Jesus when we leave this place. That's what we seek, that we would live like Jesus when we leave this place. See, fruit is not grown to stay on the plant. It's meant to disperse. We are not seeking to grow in God's love just to stay in the pew. We are growing so that we can be going. And God is equipping us to do so. So I invite you to hear a call this day to share the fruit of the bountiful harvest we are all a part of. hear the invitation. For just like plants each have their own way, so you too are invited to share the love, the peace, the joy, all of these fruits of the Spirit. You are invited to share them in a way that fits with who you are. We are all not growing to a place where we just explode with kindness. Okay, some of you are, and I know exactly which ones of you fit into that category. Some people do. They grow to a place where they just explode with kindness. But others of us do it in different ways. Maybe we're growing to a place where we simply plant ideas of hope, feed a growing thought of patience. We're growing to be going. Perhaps we float across fields on the air or oceans on the water. Perhaps we fall close to the tree. However we do that, we are growing to be going. Or maybe like that beautiful, beautiful fruit that's carried off by the bird. Perhaps if we simply live in such an enticing way that others want to take the peace and gentleness with them, maybe that's how we grow, that we might go. Whatever your style, whatever your season, whatever your variety, God is equipping you. God is nurturing you to be and to bear fruit. That even after it feels like life has caused us to wither up, we might bring forth something new, something that is growing to be going. Amen.